Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the International Black Summit Radio Show. You are here with us, the team. I am Jill Van Leesen out of Atlanta. We have Jerry. Jerry, say a shout out.
Hey, what's going on? MVP shout out from BK, New York.
And we have Glenn.
From Jamaica, Queens, New York City, coming to you live and in color.
All right. And we have Henrietta. Henrietta, are you out there yet?
No, not yet. She's not out. Okay.
All right. Well, Henrietta is out of Chicago. What we do every Sunday at 8 Eastern Standard Time with every show is we first introduce the show with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. And with that, Glenn, take it away.
All right. Thank you, Jill. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of our being and our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. April 8th, 2012, above, below, within, north, south, east, west. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Back to you, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you so much. For all our listeners, I just want you to know the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And the International Black Summit is a conversation that is being given by life to the world through people of black African descent. And you can find out more about us on blacksummit.org. But before I go into the announcement, I want to touch base on what the conversation will be about this evening. And we're looking at community, resources, and mentoring. And we have a wonderful guest on our show this evening. Her name is Ms. Latrice Myers. I have the opportunity of being called a godmother by Ms. Latrice Myers. And we met, I guess, about a little less than a year ago. Okay, and we're going to kind of hear from her. But before we do that, I want to go into the announcements. And we have Jerry has an important announcement that he would like to make. So just want to let everyone know that on March 21st in the Bronx, there's going to be a marketing mogul series. It's going to be from March 21st until May 16th. We also have April 14th, Chi-Town in Chicago. There's going to be a summit share at TNT Food Services. And on April 17th, there's going to be a social media marketing made simple and super change supercharging your Facebook marketing. And that is going to be, I will get that information for you soon, where that will be held, but we do know it's April 17th. In New York City, we have a summit prerequisite course on April 28th. And then we have on June 2nd a prerequisite in Baltimore, Maryland. And then, of course, we do not want to forget the International Black Summit annual event, which will be held in Birmingham, Alabama this year, and it's going to be from August 2nd to August 5th. And in order to register, you go to blacksummit.org, click on the picture of Alabama, and you can start registering, okay? And this will be our 22nd annual event. So with that said, we have Jerry that wants to make an announcement. Jerry?
Yeah, okay. For the rest of the month of April, I'm going to do report on Trayvon Martin. Most of the things has happened be the same, but I dig up something that I want to pass through the airways. It's very, very shocking, and maybe in the near future we probably most likely discuss about it through the airways of the International Black Summit. Here it is. It's a news report that came out from Sanford, Florida, New York, April 7th. Of this year, Utah's NBC News decision to air an edited call from George Zimmerman to police in the moment before he shot Trayvon Martin was a mistake and not a deliberated act to misrepresent the phone call, according to the president of the network news division. The edit in question, which airs on the network flagship today, morning show last week, made it appear that Zimmerman told police that Martin was black without being prompted. When in fact, the full tape reveals that the neighborhood watch captain did so when he responded to the question posed by dispatch. Under grave pressure to explain the incident, NBC News President Steve Campos provided Rutas with the fullest explanation to date of how the edit call made it on air and what the network is doing to prevent such a consequential error from happening again. Campos confirmed a previous Rutas report that an internal network investigation has determined that a producer made an editing error, and that the network editorial control includes senior broadcaster producer oversight, script editors, and often legal and standard departments revealed as sensitive material only to be broadcast, and that's what's really happening right now.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry. I thought
okay,
you were
finished. So really, right now, when you go to say that the network is doing a deeper investigation about the editing calls, and then, so it goes to show that there is some cover up even in the media. And stay all I could say is just stay tuned. So stay tuned.
All right, thank you, Jerry, so much for the update. And we look forward to more updates as the weeks continue. I just want to go back to that social media marketing made simple and supercharging your Facebook marketing that will be held on April 17th. That will be in New York City. It's going to be at 1290 Avenue of the Americas. And the person, the organizer, is Eula Young. So you can go on Facebook and obtain her telephone number, which is 212-281-2286 for more information.
Oh, yeah, Jill, let me cut your jaw. Let me bring out 1.2. And also, our shopping was talked about this controversy that really happened. And he really wanted to focus on the civil rights activists. He had his own show. And then he's going to talk more about this on his show, and he have it on every night, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And it's, and the channel is MSNBC, outside the host show. And the name of the show is Politics Daily. So if you want to know more about what I'm talking about, feel free, especially tomorrow, he's going to really go more deep on it. So I'm sorry to disturb about you, Mike, because it just popped up.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Thank you so much, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, for all of our listeners that are out there on the phone, if you would like to make a comment or have a question, just press 1. And once you press 1, we'll see you and we'll put you live on the air, okay? All right. Glenn, do you have anything else?
Henrietta's on the line.
Oh, okay. Henrietta from Chicago. She's our other host. Hi, Henrietta.
Hey. Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you? Happy Easter. Happy Passover.
Happy,
all that good stuff.
Happy Resurrection Day for everyone.
All right. I've been hearing so many things. Yes, yes. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. We want to, again, welcome Ms. Latrice Myers. Latrice is going to introduce herself to us, and really what we want to know and talk about is the importance of community, especially that within the African-American community. I know we are a show of African descent, but tonight we're going to look at the African-American community here in America, and this can, of course, focus on any community. But we want to look at how the community can help our young people, because there seems to be a missing in regards to what's going on with a lot of our young people. And so we want to introduce Ms. Latrice Myers. We met less than a year ago, and I'm going to kind of let her tell her story a little bit and going to ask her a couple of questions. So welcome to the show, Latrice.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are. What are you all about?
Well, my name is Latrice Myers, and I am the goddaughter of Jill Van Leesten. Let's see, a little about me. Well, I am a young African-American, proud to be. And with the community, what I think about the community, I think coming up I had a pretty, decent upbringing because I had so many people in my corner, family, friends, mentors, teachers, strangers. I think what the community really, like the youth, is missing is like mentors or just someone to kind of help with anything someone may be going through. I know with my household, I felt like an outcast because I was the baby of 4 girls, and I felt like I really didn't have a voice in my own household. So I would kind of get into programs, whether it would be debate or track and field or something else, to kind of have a voice. And I was lucky to run across a lot of mentors coming up because it just reassured me that, okay, the life that you're living now doesn't have to be the life that you live when you get older. So I think that's what the youth is missing. I think we're missing I really don't think that, because when I was growing up, I felt like, okay, when we stayed in the hood, I felt like the whole world consisted of the hood. That was the only thing that I knew. That was the only thing that I was going to know. But when someone took my mindset and showed me there's a big old world out here and there's more than the hood, it kind of opens up your mind to explore and want more for yourself.
Very good, very good, Latrice. Tell us a little bit about, as far as some of your peers that you would say, you know what, they really could use someone in the community. How, there are some young, some youth that would resent or not want to be bothered
as far as with someone that's either giving them advice or be bothered with someone that wants to help them, wants them to see that there is a whole wide world out there. Okay, and the youth that I'm talking about, they're not always youth that have some type of negative behavior, but sometimes you just see a youth that's really trying and they're still comfortable within the four corners of their block. So how can an adult, where youth already feels like, okay, they don't know what they're talking about, they don't understand me, they're older, yada, 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 how can an adult truly get to a youth and help a youth? I know it starts with the youth, like he or she would want the help, but how can an adult get to that youth and say, listen, just you know, try me out. Let's see where this can go as far as me helping you with your vision.
I think that an adult could, it's nothing that you could really do, but I've learned growing up that someone can tell you fire is hot, but you actually have to touch fire to understand that it's hot. But I'm appreciative of the mentors that I had growing up to tell me, okay, you know, fire is hot, but of course I don't believe until I touch it myself. And I feel like that adults should kind of reassure or let them know that, hey, I was your age once, and I know you're going to make mistakes, but when you get done making mistakes, I'm here. So I think that growing up, I think we as youth, as soon as we make a mistake, we're written off in an adult book. I feel that they kind of throw in the towel. They say, oh, well, there's nothing I can do now. You made a mistake. You're like the rest of them. But I think that's the biggest mistake we have in the community, because I believe someone can make 1,000 mistakes. But to make the same mistake over and over, that means they haven't learned their lesson. But I believe that adults shouldn't turn or dismiss a youth. If you see a youth going down the wrong path, guess what? Stay down that path with them until they go back on the right path. I mean, for youth, I think all we crave is attention. I think that's the root of it. I think we all just crave attention.
Good, very good. Is there, if anyone is out there, if there's noise in the background, please press mute. We can hear noise in the background. Does any of our hosts have any questions or any comments for Latrice?
We've got 504-309. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
If you don't know this phone number by now, I'm going to hang you.
Easter,
y'all. Happy Easter, Jared, Jill, everybody. Well, all I gotta say is, back in New Orleans, where I'm from, we have a tight-knit community. If a kid messes up, he has a chance to get out of the clique of the hood, in the way that his family, his friends in the hood will school him, educate him, and tutor him, be like a mentor to keep that kid out of trouble. Okay. And we also have a system, well, we had a system in place, it's no longer in there, that police would check on that kid 3 times a week, make sure he didn't commit a felon or a crime or nothing like that, you know. And they need to reinstate some of the old values in the community. That's all I got to say, Jerry.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Glenn, Henrietta, Jerry?
Yes.
You have any comments?
I have one.
Go ahead, brother.
And I thought it was a very powerful statement that was made, and that was to allow us to go ahead and make our mistakes, and then when we're ready to come back, be able to do that. I have a 19-year-old nephew, one of the things that he is very adamant about is he wants to make his own mistakes. And I was like, well, that's his, you know, my thought and my statement to him was, well, look, at least I don't mind you making mistakes, but don't make the same mistakes that I made. Use me and listen to what I've got to say so that you can make new or different mistakes. You don't necessarily have to repeat the mistakes that I've made. And his response to me was, you know, well, I want to make my own mistakes. And so the comment that I appreciate is allow them, be there for them, and to allow them to make their own mistakes, and when they're ready to come back. So I really get that. So thank you for parting that piece with me.
You're welcome.
Jerry, you were going to make a comment?
Well, my comment is this, that we got love, like, going on all the points that they're making, we got, sure, we got to let them make their mistakes. But we have to let them know, understand that when you continue to make a mistake, there are repercussions. And like Brother Glenn was talking about, that learn from, I think we're missing in our community, there's a certain generation gap that's happening in our community. And we're not reaching out more to the kids, our young people. And we have to make ourselves available to let them know that, look, when you make the decisions, you know, like I said, it's repercussion, but at the same time, they are a brighter light is headed if you're willing to do what's right. And the only way they're going to find what's right, again, they have to make certain mistakes, but also we got to hold them accountable, too. So, and also we got to hold ourselves accountable. And see, when we see the mistakes that they make, we point it out with the tool. So that's my point. Back at you, Jim.
Thank you. And did I hear Henrietta? Did Henrietta have a comment?
Hi, Jill. I would like to ask Latrice a question. Because she talked about, you know, when she, that there was a point in her life where she, you know, she thought everything was based on what was going on in her life at that time. And I was just wondering, like, specifically what was the, and I know it might not have been one thing, but a series of things, but what were some of the things that just made you become aware that there was a greater life for you?
Good question. I really can't say what made me turn around. It was like, I don't know, it was just this light bulb off in my head, because my mom always told me that I want better for my kids. And I really didn't get it until I stepped, like I just had to step away from home and saw that, okay, there's this world with people who, you know, who aren't in jail or who's not living on government assistance or who's not, like, constantly in trouble. So why should I be denied that? And I felt like I was denying myself that for just staying inside of, quote-unquote, the box that I was living in. I think that a lot of youth, going through this experience, you know, myself, I feel like we live inside of a box because we have no one to tell us, okay, there's a big world out here, you know, go get it. I just felt like, I don't know, it's something that went off in me that said that I got to do better or I got to make some changes. Back to you, Jill.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. For me, so she's had something else she wants to add. Go ahead.
Oh, and, you know, I think you asked the question, how do we get the youth to...
Yeah, how would an adult, like...
I think you got to get them young. Get us young.
get us young. Oh, my goodness, when I was a child, I made so many mistakes. I think that you should give leeway for a child to make mistakes. It's a kind of quote the Bible, train up a child in the way that he won't depart from you. I feel like when I was making mistakes, I knew they were mistakes, but at the same time, I knew the consequences, and the thought of the consequences made me not want to make mistakes. So I felt like when I was in my teens, I felt like, okay, I can make all the mistakes that I want, but it's something that went off of me at 18. I said, okay, my mom always told me, if you go to jail, don't waste your one phone call on me. And that kind of stuck with me throughout my life because it's still to this day I'm challenged at work, outside of home, and I always think, okay, if I react, I could go to jail. Jill ain't coming to get me out of jail. I can't get myself out of jail. So I think at a certain, you know, when someone is drilling something in your head and they seem like the child isn't listening, we hear you, it just doesn't go off until the right time. And I'm appreciative that someone lended out a hand to me when I was little. And I made all the mistakes that I could possibly, well, I think I made all the mistakes that I could possibly make to where now I feel like, okay, it's time to put on my big girl shoes. No more mistakes. I'm accountable for my own mistakes. No one's there to bail me out of not just jail but out of any situation. So I think you should get them, start getting the youth young.
That's great, Latrice. I definitely agree. And one thing I want to say, Latrice is unique in that, we met about less than a year ago, and at the same time she moved in, I had another mentee that pretty much was with me for about 3 or 4 years, and I think it was 1 year younger than Latrice. Latrice is 22, and so it's very different. I know as far as for me, it's building that relationship, the relationship building piece. When I met the other mentee that stayed here with me, we would go out to lunch, and she would never talk to me. And so after like the fifth day, I was like, okay, I need another mentee. You know, she's not talking to me. What's going on? And after a while, she told me it was just a trust factor. She just felt that I was going to eventually leave. And then whereas when I met Latrice, it was like, you know, that first day we met, you know, we just at the dining room table talking. And so it does, I mean, you know, personalities, you just have to find the right personality as well. Because we as adults, especially when we're doing a lot of community work, I find that, you know, I want to help everyone I can. And you still have that factor, like when you meet a friend, when you meet someone that you want to be involved with, or when even from a little puppy, a dog or a cat, there's a vibe. There's a vibe that you get. And then I just feel like, you know, you have to really have some type of connection with the person, and it can't just be like, you know, a forced type mentorship, you know?
Not only that, I think that the person really has to desire to take on a mentee, because it's kind of, yes, tell me about it. it's challenging, not just for the mentor, but for the youth too, because if you think about it, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone for a complete stranger, and that's pretty hard to do. That's kind of like going to a shrink. And you know how we are with shrinks. It's like, okay, you're a stranger. I'm telling you all my business, you know. But I think it's challenging both ways. But that person really has to want to desire to change or to get out of the mindset that he or she is in. And
I don't know what to say about my generation. I'm praying for them every day. I've always been told that I have an old soul, and I thank God for my old soul. Just think that the youth really need a mentor, because if my generation had a mentor coming up when I did, I don't know. It just, yeah. Thank you. All right, that's in the background. That's my dog barking, so Latrice is going to take care of her. But thank you, Latrice. I just want to comment again on that relationship piece. It's so important, and I found myself, as I speak for me, as far as being a mentor to a couple of people in the community. There's some I'm just like tired. I just don't know what to say anymore. I have one who is having her second child, and I met her when she was in the eighth grade. And the main thing we talked about was the importance of, you know, education and now she's on her second child. And it's like I was really kind of saying, okay, what can I do for her? And then I went to visit her one day, and I saw how she was treating her child. And I said, that's what I can do. I can let her know that that's a child. You don't hit, you know, a baby was less than 1 year old. The baby is learning, you know, growing. Let them experience, you know, if she's going to touch the table, let her touch the table. It's okay. You don't have to hit her. So it's kind of like meeting your mentee where they're at. Like I had to meet this young woman where she is at. She's young now with two kids. And all I pretty much speak about is the importance of, you know, education and being a lady and however being a lady is defined. And then I have to get myself out of the way of being disappointed with this young lady, and just kind of, like I said, meeting them where they're at. You're listening to the International Black Summit Radio Show. We're on every Sunday evening at 8 Eastern Standard Time. And you can find out more about the International Black Summit at blacksummit.org. So, Glenn, do we have any callers out there that have a comment, or do any of our hosts have a comment?
Well, we have a couple people in the chat room, and if you'd like to call in, our number is 646-716-9827. Give us a call, and just what. Henrietta back in, so she's live. So that's all we've got right now, Jill. Back to you.
Okay, thank you. But what I would like eventually to hear is, like, maybe and from other people on the line, if they've had situations where they were a mentor, or if they're a mentee. I know I have a mentor, Dr. Philani Prescott Adams, and I've known her for about 8 or 9 years, and she's the one that actually talked me into, her and Dr. Johnson, they've talked me into working on my doctorate and just seeing a whole other side of community-based work, nonprofit. That's kind of like where I got my drive, and so I truly, truly appreciate them. And of course, you all know how I feel about my dad. My dad is like my number one mentor. And he also introduced the community and nonprofit work to me as well. And so I think a mentor can bring about different things. It depends on the youth that you're currently working with. Well, Latrice, do you have anything else you would like to add?
No.
Okay. Okay. So the next piece, if anyone does not have anything else to add, is the community support. And I know a lot of times we hear about the Boys and Girls Club, we hear about community centers, we hear about after-school programs. As far as the community support piece, I know as a social worker back in the day, a lot of times they say go to United Way or call 211. If you want anything at all, call 211. That's the United Way telephone number. And what I found was that a lot of times you go inside of the community and ask the people in the community what resources do they know about. Because a lot of times those resources are not popping up on 211 or not popping up on the internet. So that's just a little tidbit for social workers out there, especially if you're a new social worker and you're looking for community resources. The community that you're trying to assist, it's important to get to know that community and become friends with some of the people that live there, and then find out some of the resources. Like, you might know of a clinic down the street that might give tokens for the bus, whereas that might not be a huge announcement that they're going to make, but you know a lot of your families need tokens for the bus. So different things like that. Does anyone else out there have any tidbits in regards to community-based organizations or any new community-based organizations in your area that you would like to share on the air?
Well, Jill, this is Henrietta.
Yes. Hi, Henrietta.
Okay. Hi. I just, like, I'm in Chicago, so there are a lot of nonprofit organizations here that do different, you know, they have specialties. Like, they, one organization might mentor girls and one might mentor boys, and, you know, and one might take a group of girls and focus on etiquette or focus on, you know, like just different things. Mm-hmm. I was in Memphis last week or week before last, and there's a group of girls there called the Charmettes. And it's a high school group, and they stay after school. And the nurse at this school, she does different, you know, things with them. You know, she helps groom them, so to speak, and makes them aware of different things. They go out to dinner. They learn how to, you know, use forks and knives properly, and you know, how to dress and, you know, just different things. And there's another organization in Memphis called Sister Reach, which we heard about last week, week before last. And but there are a lot of nonprofit organizations that do a lot of community mentoring. And we're going to hear from people of them, actually. We're going to hear from one 2 weeks from tonight, Voices International. And this is a real interesting group of professional women. They're about 35 years old, give or take a couple of years. And he decided to mentor girls who were in the sixth grade. And the girls that they mentored are now graduating from high school and all going to college. So they're going to tell us, you know, like how, what they've been doing for the, you know, for the last 6-7 years that they've been with this group. So there's a lot of organizations, you know, at churches, you know. At my church, there's a group called Grow Power and the Men Expressing Christ. And they do, you know, they do different things so you can, you know, you can kind of get what you need if you look for it. Either a church will help you if you're looking for a mentor. You know, there are churches that will help you. There's all of these different organizations now. A lot of the charter schools in Chicago, which is also a big thing now, they focus on, they're almost like mentors, but the whole school is focused on whatever it is, whatever the ideas that they feel. You know, like last year we talked about the school in Chicago where 100% of the, it's an all-boys school, and where 100% of the school is accepted into college, 100% of the graduating class. Well, this is the second year it happened again, and that's a charter school. You know, that was an idea that somebody had to help the boys community, you know. So there's a lot of organizations, and we'll try to find out about it as we can to let our listeners know, you know, to make them aware of the different places in the different cities and states where people can get help. But, you know, what I've found, Jill, is that adults need mental health, though.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of adults, you know, they need mentoring, especially, like I told, I asked Voices International, because girls are graduating, if they would consider mentoring women over 50 who might want to go back to school, who might want to go back to get a master's or a PhD to help them with the application process or things mm-hmm. like that, you know. So I think it's, you know, I think it kind of, there's so much available for people at different, you know, even at the different age groups where help is needed, you know. And then like Latrice, I could see her starting a nonprofit, you know, because of her experience. She can start a nonprofit, and based on what she thinks works for her, she could create an organization and get people, you know, to volunteer or work for her, write a grant or something, and then start her own nonprofit organization to help other people the way she feels she will help. So that's it. That's just kind of what was on my mind, you know.
Right. Well, that's a great segue. Latrice, do you want to kind of expound on that?
Why, yes, I do.
Thank you.
Well, when I was in middle school, well, I'm not in middle school, I went off to high school, and here I would have to go back. And I would go back and like, upon keeping in touch with the teachers, I kind of stumbled upon being a first an all girls group, and I would go back like every Wednesday, Thursday, or sometimes Friday, and kind of mentor the middle schoolers. And it wasn't just mentor. I would kind of hold classes to teach them how to do resumes or to prepare them for high school or give them good test taking skills. It was just something that I did. I felt like that someone helped me, so why not help others? I no longer do the organization because my crazy work schedule, but that was something that I was talking with a friend of mine about starting back up, and it wouldn't be just for school. Like, it would be, because I know people, like the youth, tend to try to find something to do in the summer or along spring break or something, so I feel like I want to open that back up and kind of not limit it to just girls, but also, like, have guys and boys, too. And I don't want to just limit it to one community. I kind of want to do it to, like, a county. So I think that was a great idea. I think organizations like that are great ideas.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Latrice. Let's see. Any other callers out there that have anything that they would like to make a comment on, or any of the hosts?
This is Glenn. I just wanted to talk a little bit about really the idea of starting our own mentoring programs as we look into the cities that we live in. And I hear, and I go to different youth events and youth concerns. And the biggest concern that I always hear is we need mentors. We need people to come in and work with the youth, talk with the youth. And, you know, both of you said it earlier, it's about relationship. It's about being involved in people's lives. You know, sometimes you don't know what to say and don't know what to do. But just be there listening. Because, you know, I don't care whether you're an adult, a child, an elderly. Sometimes you just want to be heard. And, you know, just want to be heard. And so to give people that opportunity to be listened in a way that's positive, that is not judgmental, and offer any kind of positive conversation or support that you can. You know, I think to any human being, and especially young folks, teenagers, and young adults, it's tough out there. It's tough. And, you know, any edge that you can give someone else in our community, you know, that's interested, that wants, you know, that is looking to do something with their lives. And even some of the people who are not, because they act like they're not, but they really want, because somebody in their lives to support them. So, you know, I say to reach out, look for organizations, and if there aren't any, start your own organization. You know, and it could be just go to your local community center and find out what they need and volunteer. So, you know, that's what I want to say for now.
Thank you, Glenn. I really appreciate that. I know that after talking to Latrice, I know that she not only has done some entry, but she does want to continue with that, as we all heard, and I think that's important. And I thought what really stuck out for me was what you said, Glenn, before when Latrice mentioned to stick with the mentee. Even when they're down, still stick with them. Don't give up. That was pretty profound for me. And then the other piece was start young. Start when they're young. I know for me, sometimes if I met someone and there's a parent involved, it's, you know, forming a relationship with that parent and then letting the parent know, hey, you know, I have some resources here for your child and some resources here for you as well. So kind of like, you know, helping the parent and helping the child. Because I know there's one woman that's kind of mentoring a young lady, about a seventh grader in her church. And she wanted to get the young lady to come to my summer program where I work. And I said, no problem. So she said, well, first I'm going to need you to talk to the parent, because if I bring this up to the parent, she's going to think I'm trying to raise her child. Or she's going to think that I'm trying to give just one more thing for her child, and it's going to make it seem like she's not providing for her child. So I said, no problem. So we met with the parent, and it was more like, you know, hey, such and such knows your daughter, and she told me about how wonderful your daughter is and how intelligent she is, and you have a great educational program. And so it kind of like had to come from me. So not only is there buy-in from the child or the young adult, but there's also that buy-in from a parent or guardian. And as I was saying this, Latrice wanted to make a comment.
Go ahead, Latrice. Funny you brought that up. This always puzzled me coming up. I would always hear people say, it takes a village to raise a child. And it's so funny because that parent won't let the village help raise the child. I never really understood that. I never really understood why parents became so overprotective when someone made a small suggestion about their child. And I see it every day. Like, parents become so protective and standoffish, like you insulted them or something. And I just don't get that. I mean, I understand it takes a village to raise a child, but what do you do when that person does not want the village to help raise the child?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Does anyone out there have any answers to that question?
I do.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm off mute. Yeah. I'm a parent. Okay. I'm a parent. I'm a single parent. And I don't know any parent that is not doing the best that they can possibly do. Even a parent who may be strung out on drugs or alcohol or whatever, parents, they always do the best that they can do, you know. And so at one time, everybody kind of understood that, that parents were doing their best. And parents were comfortable in asking their neighbors or their friends to become the village keepers. You know, they would ask. Like, there was, you know, there was not an issue for me to say something to another colleague of mine or a neighbor of mine or someone in my love circle when I needed help, you know. I would just ask for it. Now, it's different. There was no threat of the Department of Human, Department of, is it, Human Services, right, coming to take my child from me. Yeah, DCFS, nobody, you know, that was never a threat when I was raising my daughter. But that's a threat now. It's almost like people get money, like they're awarded for turning people in. So there are people who are very paranoid about that. So if, you know, if I let you in to help me and I don't really know you, you may look at what I'm doing and decide that it's not up to par. And you make a phone call. It happens so much. I have a lot of friends who work for those departments. They get phone calls all of the time from people turning in parents. They could turn them in because they're mad. They could turn them in because they're sleeping with their boyfriends. You know, it's like a different world. It's like, now, so people, they don't trust like they once did. And so they're very, there are parents who are very hesitant now about even asking for help because it does mean, you know, it's not like I need help. It's like I'm not doing my job. And if I'm not doing my job, you might turn me in and take my child from me. So that's the reason that I see it all of the time, you know, just all of the time. And, so it's, you know, that's kind of what I think would be a reason why somebody would be hesitant to receive help, you know. And sometimes it's just that you would just rather raise your own child and not have somebody, you know, like come in on it. I don't know if that addressed what you were saying, Latrice.
I totally get it. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, and I believe as a that not. Hold on, here's someone wants to please mute their phone.
We're not hearing you fully.
We need, if someone with a lot of noise in the background, they could, okay, go ahead, Latrice. Okay, I fully understand what you're saying. But I do think that part of that issue is we've become so proud as a community to even ask for help. When we know that we need help, I think I really don't know, because I know it was a point in time in my life where I was struggling at a young age, and a lot of you may say, oh, child, you're young, you don't know what struggle is, but I beg to differ. But
I was always taught growing up, if you want something, you go get it. Don't depend on anybody else. And I think that is a good kind of motto to go after, but it kind of cripples you because you never know what shape or form your blessing is coming in. And sometimes we miss our blessings because we don't ask for help. I really get what you're saying, but then again, I feel like the only way that we could become a community whole again is that if we do begin to trust again and begin to let people in again. Yes, people, you know, who are some people who are out to get you, quote unquote, or to set you up as you feel. But if you feel that way about someone, then someone approaches you and say, well, let me help your child with this, you can easily say, okay, well, give me the information and I'll help my child, instead of just turning the service down fully.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Glenn.
This is Glenn. You're absolutely right. And I want to say that there are a lot of people out there who don't have the confidence and don't have the wherewithal to investigate and to go deeper and to you know, what I find is that I don't know if it's a large group, but I know there is a group of parents out there who are living in a fantasy world, and their child can do no wrong, and you know, and they're not dealing with parenting.
We can't really hear you, Glenn. There's a lot of noise in the background. Someone, please put your phone on mute. We greatly appreciate it. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, and so it's tough, and so it's one of those things that really, you know, I don't know. It really hampers the open communication because one of the things that I'm clear about is that you have to be confident in order to invite somebody else into your space, into your circle. And and if you're not that, then everybody is a threat and you are paranoid and you are skeptical. And you know, it's an issue that we need to address and talk about going forward as a community, because we're not going to be able to impact the circle without that. Jill, we have one listener. We only have about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
Education.
All right.
Education. 310-346. Go ahead. You're live on the air.
Tracacia, thank you. Great topic. I'm glad I called in. Being a mom and a mom who raised most of my children on my own in terms of, you know, the community helped me, but I was a one-parent home, and I had two sons, and this conversation we're having, it's interesting because I had a situation like that where I needed help, and I had two different aspects, you know, happen to me. So first of all, I want to say our community is whole and complete, you know, standing in that, that's where I was standing as a mother. I love my children. And I needed help with my youngest son. I'll talk about him first. I was having issues with him following directions, things like that. And I actually encountered.
Before we continue, I'm going to let Tracacia finish. I just want everyone to know that we're listening to the International Radio Show, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And you can listen to us every Sunday evening at 8 Eastern Standard Time, And if you would like to know more about us, please go to www.blacksummit.org, and we will continue the conversation. Thank you. Back to you, Shakaysha.
Okay, thank you. And so I actually encountered a police officer because at that time my son had not returned home. He was just gone. And so when I encountered this police officer, I actually said to him, my son's not doing what I'm saying. I don't know what to do. I need help. And I always liked what he told me. He said, you're a mom. You're absolutely right. There are certain things you need to provide for your child as a parent. But there's a level in which that can be given. And what he said is you must give them a roof over their head. But that doesn't mean they got to have their own room in it. Own room and their TV in it. You must feed them, but that doesn't mean you got to give them steak. If you give them a peanut butter sandwich sufficient amount of times a day, you have fed him. So from that point of view, I saw him really helping me in my situation. Another situation was with my oldest son, who was just returning home late from school. My rule was you need to be at home and receive my phone call at 3:30 because I was a school teacher and I was still at work. And my oldest son was coming home late. Well, that's a different one, but I think it was something around his sister. She had actually taken some money that I had left for her because she was home sick for two. So when he got home, I was extremely angry, and I gave him a good 1-2 for it. And I don't know if he said something at the school the next day, but I did receive a phone call from the school saying they needed to speak to me. And my feeling was I'm not calling them back because I felt like until you walk the floor when they're throwing up and having diarrhea, and when you're sitting up watching them when they're sick, if you're not on my team, then I'm just not going to deal with you. So the point I'm making is there's a lot of ways you can interact with the services that are being rendered. But the biggest thing is to stand in. You love your children. You're in charge. And as the sister said, don't be proud to help. Ask for help. But still know you're the one that's guiding that boat. And that's what I wanted to share as a single parent.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing that, Shakaysha. And we actually closed out the show. However, we want to thank all of you for tuning in. And I know Henrietta and Glenn, are you still out there, or Jerry?
Yes, I am. I'm still.
Okay. Well, I just want to
thank you.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you all for calling in, and thank Shakaysha so much. And I just hope that you all, well, I know that you all have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week. And I will talk to you all later.
Okay.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter, Jill.
Yes.
Jill, there's one other thing. Next week is our gardening show, our urban gardening show. So I invite everybody to join us and learn about getting community gardens started in your area and, you know, find out the money that's available and things like that. And, you know, Glenn is our garden, so he's going to help us prepare our gardens for the summer, or help y'all prepare y'all's gardens.
Wait, you hear that?
I heard that.
All righty, I love you. Have a nice holiday.
Love you guys.
Bye bye. Good night.
Bye. Good night.